Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Has been really what we have experienced. Remember, we lost my nephew, not 3 months into the year, very tragically, literally last night and today, 1 year ago, John, Jasmine, and Luke were together for the weekend. Difficult stuff because my son makes the statement, you know, Dad, there's only one of us left in that picture of the three. That's tough stuff at 23 years old as he is, and his wife at 21, and then in June 10th as she would have celebrated her 22nd birthday. Or no, was she 20? January 10th, getting ready to celebrate her birthday. You know, there's just a lot of tough stuff to go through. And the fact of the matter is, as we've experienced these things, we can do one of two things. And I spoke some on that Wednesday. I wish you were here and could have heard what was, because I couldn't share what was there Wednesday again if my life depended on it, because what God lays on my heart at the time, I share it, and then that's it. But as I think about what each of us, as we approach this crossroads in our lives of grief, we can buy the, I call it the prosperity doctrine, health and wealth, that God wants us nothing but rich, healthy, wealthy. He wants us just nailing it. Now, let me just tell you something about me. I'm a type A. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? I'm ADD. If God's desire for me was to be healthy and wealthy, and literally the moment you gained faith in Jesus Christ, it was a golden pathway, friends, I'm not even joking. You hadn't seen nothing. Literally, there wouldn't be a parking lot big enough. We couldn't build a facility big enough, because I will promise you one thing. You have never seen me sell something that I believe in if it's like that, because everybody wants it. Amen? If that's what that road was, I'm not just in. I'm lock, stock, and barrel in, neck deep. I'll sell the farm to buy it, but it's not truth. And really, all you have to do is look at the lives of the disciples. 11 of the 12 disciples killed because they were followers of Christ. You have John, who is retired, right? Exiled to Patmos. They tried to kill him. It didn't work out real well. God lets him go on this retreat to Patmos where he writes John the Revelator, Revelation. So, I'm sorry. If that's what God's desire is, I think he owes the disciples an apology, right? What about Nero? Read what Nero did to Christians. Wait a second. This is what God's desire is for Christians, to be healthy, wealthy, and everything be wonderful. Oh, see, actually, all through Scripture, we have the truth. And truth is something quite the opposite. We are going to suffer. We're going to be persecuted. If you are a true follower, not a fan, so what do you mean? When Jesus is walking by, the disciples on the beach says, hey, come follow me. Imagine if they ran home, got some lawn chairs, came out there, set up a tent with lemonade, and told everybody that came by, I met Jesus. It was the most incredible experience you could ever imagine. You'd have a fan. But what did they do? They left everything, as we see, and followed him. There's a difference. Fans love the concept of what it means to follow Jesus. But a follower takes up his cross and follows. And that's why we see the distinction in Matthew chapter 25. The sheep and the goats one day in judgment separated. The sheep on the right, the goats on the left. And the difference in the sheep and the goats, what they did and didn't do. And it's not works. It has to do with sheep are obedient and live out the master's plan for their life, while goats merely never see the need in the first place. They're really good at serving themselves. And they say, when? Whatever you did not do to the least of these, you did not do unto me, and they will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We're going to struggle. We're going to have battles. We're going to have valleys. I had meningitis in 2007, and they Came out to my wife, this guy's not going to, you know, he's going to be dead. My mom came to pick up a dead person. It was not a good, it wasn't good. Bacterial meningitis, antibiotic resistant, bad news. Hospital acquired from a doctor's finger. This is not something that I've had this wonderfully beautiful, right? 13 back surgeries didn't occur just because I have a bad back. It's because doctors made very bad mistakes in the treatment of my back. And remember now, I'd come to faith in Christ Jesus September 20th of 2004, with which right after that, the first surgery commences. So there you start to ask the question, this is what God's desire is, and everything's supposed to be great and wonderful. What happened to me? Maybe I didn't have enough faith. Maybe I didn't, right? You can go into all these questions if you buy into that theology. Well, no. God knows what needs to be done to prepare his people for the purpose, the plan, and his will in their lives. How does this last 25 whatever days fit into God's preparing me? See, somebody had said right before this happened, about a week before, man, God must really be preparing you for something big. Little did I know that not only had I not recovered, but I was taken on December 9th at one of the weakest physical, emotional, in every sense and form places that I could have ever imagined being. And I was honest on Wednesday night, and I'm going to be honest now. My first inclination, my first desire, my first thought, dead serious, was to get in my car and get as far away in the opposite direction as I could ever go, because I have a very good way of doing something. If something traumatizes me really bad, I have a way of being able to put it out of my mind and pretend it never happened. What I wanted to do is I wanted to run as far away as I could and pretend that my son, his wife, and everything was wonderful and fine. Fight or flight, right? I wanted to flight. But I knew that that's not what you do, not only a man of God, but a father to his son who has the relationship that we have. You don't do that. You don't run from them. You run to them, which is what I did. And that is the question this morning. When you run into these crossroads in life and the trials and tribulations begin to befall you, your family, of no implication from an action or something that you've done, right? Inviting this, right? I'm in unrepented sin, and the consequences of said sin is starting to unfold in my life, as many times we wrongly attribute it to, oh man, I'm just suffering for the Lord. Look at this person, you know, these trials going in, and God's going to groom. Do what? What planet did you drop out of? You're suffering for the unrepented rebellion you are in. It's like the same thing as Samson going, why'd they poke my eyes out? I didn't do nothing. Yet many times we're in the midst of that. We have a hard time seeing it. So the things that we're going to do now, starting on January 1st of 2023, my question, and will be again this morning, is to you, where are you in your walk with Christ, is my first question. What would happen to you if you're called? Like, remember, we're all going to get a call. I said that, and it's the truth. I loathe my phone. I loathe it. I loathe it at night more than ever. Before this, I loathed when that phone rings at night, because no one calls me. I just won $50 million, and I want to give you $5 of it. Nobody ever calls me and says, listen, man, I am hitting a lick with the Lord. I'm going, look what God's doing. And you call me after 8 o'clock at night, something's bad. Something's bad that has happened. So you're going to get that call. It's not a matter, you know, we can move away and have no family and you won't get that call. But see, that's not reality. Reality is we're going to get that call. Whether it's a mom, a dad, a son, a daughter, husband, wife. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Because time and the odds are something happens to someone, right? So what are you doing now in preparation for that day that you get that call? Because when you get that call, you have fundamental choices that you will make in the moments that shock, as I sat up straight in bed at 9 o'clock at night and said, "What? What are you talking about, son?" With which he repeated what he said. You're going to make fundamental choices in those moments. Wednesday night, I shared out of Job chapter 1. After Job had just learned, and remember, I just lost my daughter. Job had lost everything. His immediate response was to tear his robe, shave his head, and worship. Naked I came, naked the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that is worship. That is a heart of worship. That man after the heart of God. I can't imagine. I want to believe that I would do what Job did, but just experiencing the crushing wave, plural, of grief, I cannot imagine. I have so much respect for Job. So much. Because I only know an iota of what he experienced, church. But I knew with which the length I had to wrestle my heart at that moment. To know that truth, to reaffirm that truth, and continue to stand steadfast in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. When Paul has this thorn, he has an ailment. Say what it is, which is so beautiful because it applies to all of us. It doesn't matter if you've got a bad back, you have a bad foot, you have arthritis, you are missing your legs, you have a child with an intellectual or physical disability, and you sit there and you go, why? Well, look what Paul is. He's pleading with the Lord. Pleading, by the way, look at the context that I preached it. Go back and hear those. I don't know when it was, but you can find it. Hang around long enough, I'll do it again. But the magnitude of what that's saying right there is Paul is pleading, he's begging, he's crying out to the Lord to take this. By the way, you remember why the thorn came? Because God allowed him to see heaven in a vision, and he knew Paul would be boasting, not in a spiritual sense, but in a prideful sense. So God gives him this thorn to humble him. And then after he pleads with the Lord, God's response is, my grace, God's unmerited favor, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And then what? That's why I boast in my infirmities, my persecutions, my weaknesses, for when I am weak, he is strong. So I remember as I'm driving the 750 miles, starting at 10 o'clock at night. Now, what's the first problem, church? Your pastor don't stay up past 8 o'clock. That's a late night. Not only I've been woken from a sleep, I was so out of it, I kept walking in circles saying, I don't know what to do. I'm honestly dead serious with you. I was walking around like one of the patients I used to take care of in long term that had severe advanced Alzheimer's or dementia. I was walking around the house. I probably did 50 laps and did nothing in those while ladies in the house had to put my stuff together because I could not even process. I was so shell-shocked. See, I began to realize, as even that, as I start driving and God allows me with no sleep besides the times I fell asleep and the two passengers with me, one sleeping because they'd been up for 36 hours next to me, would see me start to sleep and poke me so that I would wake up. Drove all the way down there, got there the next morning. I don't know if it's 7 o'clock. It was a very quick trip. There was nobody on the roads, and it was an ADD person's focus on getting somewhere, church. I knew that in my weakness right now, the processing part that had begun to recognize, God, you are the only one that can get me through this. Your choice today, if you are sitting there going, I don't know what I'd do, I want to tell you this morning, you got work to do then. You got work to do because there's going to come a point when I say brokenhearted, see, at a time of good, when everything's wonderful, and you see everybody on Facebook saying, we're so blessed, what an amazing 2022. It couldn't be any better. I hope 23 is better. See what happens in those times. We become complacent in a sense. It's almost as a pilot that's slowly going up. When I would fly, you got to be careful. You get up over about 12,500, 13,000 feet. You know what happens, right? You start getting hypoxic, right? You don't know that the air is getting thinner, but you get up there and you get euphoric. Euphoria is a feeling of well-being, a sense of good. And you can actually continue to go up until you start getting crazy. If you have enough room, there's cases where somebody will take off their clothes because they think they're at the beach with their family, and then ultimately you can end up dying. That happened to Payne, the golfer. Payne Stewart, remember that? His plane? It decompressed, if I remember correctly. There's no oxygen in there, and they all felt, and the thing crashed about 700, 800 miles away. They all just fell asleep and died. No oxygen. See, spiritually, when we don't go through the trials and the tribulations and the adversity, our spiritual strength is like a credit card, the thickness of a credit card. So when the tribulation does come one day and we've been walking in sunshine, bubblegum, raises, and everybody's been doing great, when it does come, we've not been trained, we've not done James chapter 1, not complete, not lacking anything. We are walking on, as the old song from the, I think the 70s, walking on sunshine. Everything's great. When it hits, it's like I can't stand low riders, but you're a low rider fan, praise the Lord for you, whatever. But you go take a low rider and you go at 80 miles an hour and you hit a speed bump. The commencing destruction that begins to unfold is what happens spiritually when we're unprepared for what God is allowing us to grow through, to go through. The statement this morning that we say, and if you have Psalm chapter 34, we'll look at, again, one verse, verse 18. If you're physically able, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saved those crushed in spirit. Father, thank you this morning for truth, God. That truth this morning that can bring comfort in the midst of a heart that's broken. In the midst of the inability for me to understand your ways, because your ways are higher than my ways, your thoughts higher than my thoughts. God, thank you for truth and my ability to look in the past, knowing that you can only do what you've done and you have always been faithful. You have always provided. You have always sustained. And you are always faithful and good. God, we give all this to you, Lord, not only the ones in this building, but ones online. God, move in hearts today. Bring ones to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, help them understand their sinners in need of a Savior. Help them understand the love of Christ. And we know that only happens through your Holy Spirit speaking to their hearts. We give all this to you, Lord. May you alone be exalted, glorified, lifted up. Hide me behind the cross, the finished work of salvation, Father. We ask this in Jesus' precious, holy, and righteous name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit. I want to share one first thing with you this morning is this. When we are brokenhearted, God is closer than ever. So say the Lord is near the brokenhearted. Hebrews 13:5 promises us, I could go on, scripture reaffirmation of it, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Church, I think, like any other time in history, this is I've shared this forever, and I think it's important. There's analogies, and I want to do it. I like to paint. And I've kind of thought about putting a canvas up here, and every week, just beginning to do a little bit more of it. Now, in me, it's going to take 10 years, but praise the Lord, we could do it together, right? Be like Ross, the painter that he died of cancer, but I just always loved watching old Ross up there with his hair. By the way, he was a Marine, if anybody doesn't know that. He had that hair like that because somebody had joked about him growing his hair out. He did it one time, everybody loved it, and he said, I never could cut it after that. That's true. But when you think about a picture, a canvas, and you think about God, because we know that God created every one of us with a purpose, a reason. God just didn't go, you're going to be there for no reason. You're just floating in the chasm or cosmos with no reason. You're just like floating around like one of those daisies. or what are those things, thistles, you blow the things and they blow off. No, that's not God. God is, Scripture, so he's a God of order. So we know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's a fundamental purpose for which we have been created. So I love the painting one even better, but I don't have it, so I want to go back to the one that I've shared with you now for almost 15 years. I liken it to this once again. We've been doing a lot of puzzles lately. When I was in the hospital, I made the statement, hey, get a puzzle. Like I thought I was going to be ready to do a puzzle, sick as I was. So they bring a 1,000, I think, a piece puzzle, bring it, and this thing was crazy complex. And I was like, we got a puzzle. We said you wanted it complicated. Well, no, I didn't mean one that was so complicated that I probably put 5 or 10 pieces in the whole entire thing. I finally had to kick Emily out because she'd want to stay at night and do the puzzle. I said, Mom, you need to go home. Got the kids there. She loves puzzles. She starts them once she doesn't. So it started puzzling and building these, putting these puzzles together. Somebody even gave her a clock for Christmas that you have to put together. So she's going to enjoy that. But the reason I say that is puzzles are very, to me, representative in helping us, you know, bring it down a little bit so we can understand of what we are as followers of Christ in the magnitude of the singular God that we serve with the singular purpose. God doesn't go, well, I got a little purpose over here for America. I got another. God has this massive purpose that he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, and each intricate piece of the puzzle is all going to culminate in the finishing out of what he has promised in the puzzle, the way that he has it divinely ordered to work out. Now that right there is deep. Amen? And everything through history, there's something that happened 200 years ago that can impact now. Remember when I came to Longview, they were about to close it. Who in the world would have thought? This little church out in the middle of nowhere, and I had this picture of houses all around, and when I said it, it was like the principal when Ferris Bueller and Ferris Bueller's Day Off said, you know, oh, I'm not feeling too well today. And he had that look at him. That's what the look was when I said, church, I'm telling you, I see houses all around here. And I'm under the breath. I know people leave me, this guy's crazy. There's no way in the world we're in Unionville, Tennessee. Well, in 14 short years, look what's happened, church. Look what's happening. An unfolding of houses that are literally in both directions, culminating with right around here. See, the pieces of that puzzle that had I taken as a man with young children, my wife, we had young kids, we were at a church, had a vibrant program ministering to kids, you know, there's nothing really happening here then, kids-wise, program-wise, been real easy for me to not listen to what I knew God was doing and say, you know, Lord, you know, I got young kids, I got to make sure they get what they need, instead of trusting God. When sometimes he does stuff that's so outside, sometimes you just want to go, God, what's going on here? I know I'm along for the ride, but can you give me a little more info? See, what it is it's not about us. And that's the biggest part we have to get over. It's not about us. It's not about me. I can't tell you the number of Marines that night at the funeral as I agreed out of respect for my son and her family, which I said in the beginning, I hope they don't ask me to do anything because all I want to do is sit there and cry. Because that's what I felt like. And when they asked, I knew I could not say no. I couldn't do it. Not only because of them, but number one, because of him. And then not only that, we had this whole entire auditorium filled up with Marines, and then we had the line that came through, which were in another room. The line just kept on going. One after another, as I began to recognize, God, you did this so that they could hear the gospel. You allowed this, and I know that's not the ultimate reason for it, but there were a bunch of people that heard the gospel as a result of my daughter's death. We don't understand it. The magnitude is so much bigger, but see, it's waking up every morning in all of us. The moment that we open our eyes, or maybe you're conscious before and you lay there in the bliss of, oh, I don't want to get up. You're still thinking, you're still processing, but we have a choice. And we, in essence, whether you physically do it, like I'll encourage you to, I've got plenty of pieces still left, grab one of these, lay it on your nightstand if you need to, pick it up in the morning, look at it and go, God, what am I going to do today? Lord, I know that I don't know where I go in this puzzle today, Father, but I know you do. And I know that my peace, whether I try to explain away how I wish I was like such and such because I could have such a big impact on people, but you just got me cleaning floors up there at the school or at McDonald's, and if only I could do something more consequential. You'll never do anything with that mindset, by the way, because if you get placed in a place of greater responsibility, you'll be just as miserable and unfaithful in that because you'll think that you should be the next person on the rung. What happens, though, is when you're the person cleaning out the grease trap at McDonald's and you do this, hey, I know what that verse says. Whatever I do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. I'm going to do it to the greatest degree that I possibly can. I want to be a ray of sunshine when I walk in a place. Why? Why not? Who in the world loves one of your friends that's a black cloud to show up at your house? If you enjoy that, raise your hand. You just love somebody who comes over and tells you how awful their life is. And as a matter of fact, if you think back, you can look back at their entire life and they've never once said anything positive to you in their life. That's what I thought. Nobody does. You know why? I'm a kind of an empath, right? I kind of soak up energy from people around me. Somebody's a positive, I don't know, it's like a shot of adrenaline to me. I get more excited, maybe it's the ADD in me, right? And the more, if you get somebody who's really wound up, I'll get real excited because it's like I just feed off the excitement, especially when they are bananas for the Lord and they are bouncing off the walls. It's a lot of those people you'll go, oh my gosh, they are overwhelming. Give me 10 of them. And I'm serious, because I feed off that. I love joy. I love peace. I love hope. I want to be happy because God is good. He's faithful. I used to be in a wheelchair. I have seen so much loss in life, and I'm just thankful that I am alive today to finish what God has for me so he can take me home. See, I wake up and I say, God, I only can give you this. I don't know where you need me today. When I went to sleep, on December 9th, I had no idea that this puzzle piece was going to be needed at Camp Lejeune in Jacksonville, North Carolina. I had no idea. I had no idea that it was going to fundamentally change that day my son woke up his entire life. Remember, just a few couple of weeks before that, we were with her, had one of the greatest times, got to meet her parents in North Carolina, my parents' house for Thanksgiving. We're so excited, and you know, she'd text, I'd text her, you know, hey, how y'all doing? I love you. Right after I got married, I texted, hey, you know, I've been praying for you your whole life, and I'm so thankful I can now put a face with your name, with the person that I've been praying for, which totally floored her, blew her out of the water, realized how loved she was as a person that we don't know who we're praying for, but when kids are born, we start praying. God, you know them, prepare them, bring them to you, God, protect them. See, God knew. And I, little did I know that it was going to be under 24 months that my son was going to have this precious gift that we prayed for. And by the way, 9 months of it, he would be being faithful to the call of duty in deployment. Don't let that bother you. Praise God. You know what that's the sound of? That's glory right there, amen? Hey, praising God. Or crying like, gosh, guys got to hush. But I'm just thankful this morning that God's ways are not my ways and his thoughts are not my thoughts. I'm thankful this morning that I know and without a shadow of a doubt that God is always faithful. Even when I can't see through the fog of life, all I have to do in the morning when I wake up is say, God, I'm yours. Fill me with your power and presence like never before. God, let me be a radiant light to the broken, the lost. Let them see Christ lived out in me, not with my words even, but with my life. Want to show up late for work? Want to halfway do your job? Want to skim off the top, steal? You want to do all that stuff? You wonder why the people don't want nothing to do with what you're telling them? Because you are not showing yourself faithful. Not only that, you're living a life that's contradictory to the words that you speak then. I love, you ever seen how many people in traffic, you got those I love Jesus bumper stickers and all that, and you see them throwing hand gestures and carrying on and acting up? How many times have you seen the person that has the hat on there and the shirt proclaiming the glory of God, but then you walk in a store and they're like, man, this person, I cannot stand them. They come in here, I have heard it firsthand. just as recently as Goodwill just a few weeks ago, and the girl says, oh yeah, Christians tend to come in here after church on Sunday and act up. Dead serious. This person didn't even know who I was from Adam and just happened to say it because somebody had been misbehaving. See, I can't worry about what others do, and you can't worry about what others do. What we can do, though, this morning is recognize that He is near, which is the title of the message this morning. See, He is near because when we are brokenhearted, God is closer than ever. He is near the brokenhearted. We see that. He is near the brokenhearted. Now, He's near all the time, but let me tell you something. When we're in unrepented sin, we excuse ourselves, in a sense, from God's presence. Ask Samson about that. We excuse ourselves from the blessing. How many times has the dam of God's supernatural blessing and provision been dammed up with the unrepented rebellion and sin? It's those closets in our life that we want to keep shut. Listen, God, you have it all. Just don't touch this. This is that little thing nobody knows about. And God, I'm going to hang on to this, but you can have the rest of it, Lord. See, we're all in. You think? Yeah, right. Scripture says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That tells me that a follower of Christ is sold out. I'm in the world, but not of the world. See, second thing I want to share is when we're crushed in spirit, God is there to restore. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. If we don't allow God to restore us, brothers and sisters, we're going to be destroyed. Dries up the bones. You remember what I'm talking about now when I said we've got to excuse ourselves out of the negativity. Remember how I told you, I don't watch news. I can't stand it. It's like going and opening up a septic tank and going for a swim. Now you might laugh. Nobody'd ever do that. Church is a true thing. Where we're at in North Carolina, someone had an ad up saying they will pay you $200 to allow them to jump in your septic tank. I promise you it's an ad. That's what the news was to me. You know what I realized? I realized that when I began to see and read what I thought, remember I stopped watching on TV and I started reading, and when I continued reading, what I kind of found out was I have to be very, very careful what you read, because when we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us desire of our hearts, and we delight ourselves in Him, but you guess what else happens? When we go and we peer into the enemy's territory, yes, we need to know what's going on around us and a biblical perspective and mindset, but we've got to guard our hearts, church. What does it matter if 12 people killed themselves or killed each other up in Chicago at a bloody turf war on a Friday night? You think that's going to make me go, glory, hallelujah, I'm so thankful that the state of our nation is in such a place? What I found out is those things began to have a real effect on me. And I found out that in a sense what I doing is in the morning I was waking up and I was getting in my word and spending time with the Lord in prayer and spiritually on a mountaintop. And then when I got done with that, right, we're moving on to the next thing, which was to read the news, and I would open up my front door and say, come on in, Satan. Come on in here and see if you can take a stab at this peace, joy, and hope that I am welled up in right now. This flood. As a matter of fact, I'm drinking from the saucer because the cup's overflowing, if you've ever heard that statement. Especially my personality. Because the more I'm in the Word, the more I'm delighting myself in the Lord, the higher spiritually I feel this overwhelming euphoria of God's presence. I know it's weird, but it is what it is. So then I would allow the enemy, in a sense, this feeling of, thank you. Until I said, wait a minute, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to allow Him to crush my spirit. I'm going to allow the joy of the Lord to be my strength. I'm going to allow the joy of the Lord to restore me. I'm not going to allow these attacks. I don't want dry bones. I don't want to become complacent and apathetic to everything around so that I become numb to the realities around. I want to be sensitive to them, but you got to be careful, because it's just like the training they do many times in the military. They have to train you mentally to deal with the things that you will see. Wonder how you do that? Well, now they're even doing it in video games. Desensitizing our culture. Glorifying things in our culture with our kids, right? We see these things where they said the normal child at whatever age near has killed so many thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people on a video screen. Oh Lord, don't let that be the truth. I'm not letting that stuff in my house, church. Come on. That is not something that will bring you the joy of the Lord. But also what it does is allow an avenue of attack in the enemy. It's these open doors. We can't let these closets, we can't let these totes in our lives withhold the ability for God to bless and God to use us because we are compromising and not allowing Him full and complete, ready, lordship, doulos, slave to Christ. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Why do I thank God today that I'm a slave to Christ? Because what is God's promise? He provides my provisions. He leads me. He guides me. All I have to do is rest in His purpose and plan. And He'll what? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and what is the promise? He, ready, will direct your path. There's no such thing as using the promise, the power, and this gift of salvation as an app on a phone. Well, I tried it out. Excuse me? Simon the Sorcerer? We know that story. I'm going to tell you something, man. He paid much too high a price for us to give it a try. But I know the promise this morning. When you're all in and when you are yielded to Christ and when you delight yourself in Him and when you are sold out in your 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, you realize, God, every one of these things you allow is being used for your glory. I can revert then to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and all things A-L-L, capital letters is what I always say. Bold text, 36 on your font. In all things, give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. In all things. God, how can I thank you in this? Either He's God and it's true and He doesn't lie, or I found a loophole and God's a liar and He ain't. Church, He's not. He is the I Am. Let me just tell you, I love this because the I is singular. He is the I, and He is the Am. He's the all-consuming presence for all space and time. Why can God and how can God? There's no way. How can every prophecy in the Bible come true exactly with all of the different writers over the course of what 1,500 years that the Bible was written on all these different continents, not working together, no media, no mobile, no beepers, no phones? How can they write this consistent story that all has one theme, one absolute flawless that culminates? Because it wasn't written by man, it was written by men that were divinely inspired of God. And see, I know in full faith that every single word of God's word is truth. That's why I don't like red letter. Oh, we're going to read red letter this morning. What are you talking about? Oh, we're looking at the words of Jesus. Is it not God's word? The whole thing's God. Amen? So you're going to pay attention to red letter and then, oh, see, I don't... See, the rest of it, that's why you wonder why. Sometimes I say, I don't understand where in the world they're getting the justification from this. I know what it is. It ain't red letters. So see, we take the red letters. We don't, the rest of it is just kind of like a buffet. You just take and leave what you want, right? How many times you heard a Baptist preacher preach on gluttony? Y'all just got real quiet. Amen? But oh, they'll preach about drinking and smoking and cursing. Oh no, we won't talk about restraining the things in our life, church, right? I've had to restrain myself at the dinner table in the last about 6 months. My back hurts bad, but also it's not a good demonstration when your preacher has issues with my cholesterol and my blood sugar and all of those kind of things. It's not real wise if I don't take care of the temple that God has blessed me with. Amen? We can sit around and we can start to do that. I think it was Chuck Swindoll wrote a book called Respectable Sins. See, oh yes, hey listen. Oh yeah, can you believe what their sons, I cannot believe what their sons, that little hellion, look what they're doing. I'll tell you what, if that was my kid, I'd huh. Sound like somebody's tearing down their brother or sister's house, amen? Or the person that I walk in and go, oh man, I'm so sorry, did you hear me what I just said? I tell them, why don't you go on and keep talking? The one you better worry about heard you long before I ever walked in. Amen? What is the mouth? The wellspring of what? The soul. I know what Scripture says, let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Why? Oh man, I'm sorry, church, I'm out of time. For God be the glory. Third and final thing, listen, church, grief is an important process, listen closely, but it needs dealt with, ready? And left behind. Did you hear what I just said? Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3. You have toiled this mountain long enough. And Ecclesiastes 3, 4, there's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. I shared that at the funeral. Time for everything under heaven. We got to be careful. Because as I even saw and see in my 48 years, sometimes grief can become, if you're not careful, a place of comfort. And when we find that place, it is not the place the Lord desires us to dwell. You would not want me there because remember, people who are ADD, if you understand the mindset of it, we are really passionate about what we're passionate about. You would never want to meet me if I was passionate about grief because I would be the most effective griever you would ever meet. And I would make sure my black cloud was bigger than anybody else's black cloud because I would want to magnify the thing that I was doing. That's why I'm thankful God took captive my heart and allowed me to understand conceptually how important this is because I realize the puzzle's not complete unless God's able to use the plans, the purposes, and the reason he created me for his glory. It's his. Oh, Brother John, you're this. No, I'm nothing. I'm just one that has laid my puzzle in the hand of God, and I'm using the gifts with which God has blessed me with, and one of them wasn't preaching. I used to share every week a five-minute thing at BNI, Business Network International, for my company, and I would get up and have to take Xanax because I would stand up there and I would shake and my voice would quiver and I would sweat and I would be at the verge of passing out unless I took medicine that the doctor gave me specifically for Friday morning at 7 a.m. So when God called me to ministry, I was like, oh Lord, yes, is this a joke? Not only can I only talk to a good group of people, I have a great time in a small group, but talking to a priest at a funeral one time that had over 800 people there. First time I ever spoke publicly as a follower of Christ was about 600. So it's not my gift, it's the gifts that God has prepared me and gave me to use for his glory. So church, this morning is your attitudes or actions, and this is where we close with, that you recognize right now through this, it doesn't have to be grief. Yours might be that you're a foul-mouthed gossip. Your tongue is literally like a razor blade and you've been slicing everybody up. You know everybody's business in the whole entire planet, but you ain't dwelling in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because you've been so focused on everybody else. And this morning, maybe God's showing you that and you need to get out of that realm and get into the presence of the Most High God. You want to spend eternity with him? Well, maybe you're one of those people that you got friends that go, you know, I'm a Christian, I just don't like, you know, church's just not my thing. You ready? Walk up to God and say, man, I love you, but I hate your wife. What is the body of Christ, church? The bride of Christ. Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling. Doesn't have to do anything with God putting check marks. It has to do with this incredible blessing of all of us in unison all over the globe together that worship one God, one source of righteousness, Christ Jesus, the gateway. We're not the Baha'i church. We're not all these doors and all of them lead. No, church, there is no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved. There must be a mediator, and Christ Jesus is the mediator. He is the gateway. He is the bridge. And this morning, he is near. He's near you if you're brokenhearted. He's near you this morning if you realize that there's a lot of things in your life that need to change. I want to encourage you something. If you would have told me that 30 days ago right now, which would have put me at December 1st, that my daughter was going to be buried in less than 15 days, I'd have said, you must be using drugs. No way in the world. If you had told me a year ago right now that I'd have my nephew and my daughter before the new year's over, both in the ground, 23 and 20 years old, 21. Never in a million years. I would truly have believed that you've been into some psychedelic things that you should get out of real fast. But you know what I'm constantly reiterating with you? The truth of what the Word says. And what does it say? Life is but a vapor. And never in my life has the reality, you've heard me talk a lot about it, I reference this continually. As a matter of fact, I've had, I won't tell you who, in age group even, some go, man, you talk a lot about that death stuff. Well, it's kind of important the more you recognize that every one of us is one heartbeat from it, amen? And when you get in a medical facility, you realize real quick there's a whole lot of people that didn't plan on being in the morgue yesterday that are in there today. So I think it's important, and the reason is the implications of that divine encounter are life-changing. We can sit around and hope everything's going to work out. You can do that. I can't. He's like, oh no, I want the preacher to find out. What am I, your parent must spank you? Here, let's go. We got our 40-year-olds tonight. We're going to do a spanking session because they're not behaving. They're not making the decisions they need to make. So we're going to whip them. As a matter of fact, we're going to get Josh to bring the taser from the sheriff's department over here. We're going to tase everybody until they get saved to make sure everybody goes to heaven. Are you crazy? I can no more compel you to give your life to Christ Jesus than to believe I can sit in front of you and convince you. Scripture says, no one comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws or enables him, as some versions say, church. It's not my work. It's the work of the Lord. And that's the importance of understanding with this puzzle piece this morning. You're an important part of God's purpose and plan. What you do with it today, the great thing is I've unburdened what God's laid on my heart. We go back to Acts next week. We roll with it. I'll cry when it hits me, when whatever God lays on my heart, and I'll just keep on moving. And one day it'll be me. Up here. If it's nasty, it'll be shut. If it's not, you'll be looking at me. And you'll walk by and go, oh, whatever, or go, it's about time. But it's going to happen for all of us. Really, in a group this size, the likelihood that there's not one, maybe minimum, is not here. Odds are pretty high. What if it's you? What if it's me? If you're going to be out of here next December 9th, you can do the countdown in days, you only have 300 and whatever days to establish your legacy if you don't have one right now. But brothers and sisters, there'll be a legacy established. Either nothing, or you're going to stand steadfast in the truth of God, His Word, and maybe it was a Sunday morning on a beautiful, sunny first day of 2023 when the Spirit of God grabbed a hold of you. And you, long my imprisoned spirit lay, cast down in sin and nature's night. It's one of those old Presbyterian hymns from when I was a little boy. My eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flame with light, got up, went forward, and followed thee. Meaning, today might be the day that you recognize that you have been in a prison, whether it's of sin or whether it's of self. And on a normal Sunday morning, on the first day of the year, when you were making these resolutions, you realized that the Lord was an app in your life, Or maybe you were a follower of Jesus Christ that just really didn't understand what in the world was the issue, but you realized that moment that you had to begin to work on what is so small, birth date, death date, dash. That will encompass our entire lives. What are you doing this morning with your dash? If you died right now and stood before the God of all creation, he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? I can't answer that for you. Get Brother Jonathan. He knows me. No, I don't know you. I know what you let me see of you. You know what I let you see of me. God knows our hearts. You know, we can see fruit, but at the same time, see the one that knows us we will stand before one day. Brothers and sisters, right now is the time to get serious about what is so serious. Because this little time on earth, let's just say you're blessed with 100 years. You think that's a long time? Why don't you ask the rich man of Lazarus? You're looking over 2,000 years ago, friends. You think that seemed like a long time, their little measly time on earth? I know one thing. I've lived way over double what my daughter lived. And I think about 20 years, 21, that's nothing. Don't believe you have tomorrow. Because we don't live every day like it's your last. Let God use that puzzle piece for the plan and purpose he has for your life. Not in self-will. I'll put it where I think. No, let God place you. Let's pray. Father, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.